Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game here on a Tuesday. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander on the desk with me, Kelly Bidlin, as always. And now joining us here on the program, you see him here on VSiN quite often. Also the host of Shoulda Bet More podcast at Not The Will Hill over there on the Twitter machine. He is, in fact, Will Hill. How you doing, buddy?
Boys, what's going on? Either the last day of baseball season here, or we get Cole with a chance to send us back to LA tomorrow. Hopefully one more game. If just extend the series, it would be a bit of a disappointment to have a sweep here.
It would be disappointing. However, if history says anything, it will be a sweep, as it has been a sweep 21 of 24 times that we've gotten to 3-0. Will, what do you feel about the bullpen game tonight for the Dodgers?
It'd be Dodgers or nothing. Watching some of the post game last night, I mean, this is dangerous to read into that stuff, but the Yankees did seem pretty dejected. And they said all the right things. Hey, one at a time. You can't win four in a row. You just got to win one game and take it from there. That being said, the heads were down. They seemed dejected. As soon as Freeman hit the home run last night, boy, the air came out of that building, and they couldn't get anything going. So, look, it could change at a moment's notice. It is tricky handicapping these bullpen games with these pitchers coming in and out. It's a tricky handicap. But heel against that top of the lineup. The Dodgers are so prone to striking quickly. If they get one or two in the first, I just don't know. The psyche of the Yankees, that building would be the same as last night, where it just gets ultra quiet. And you're getting plus money here with the Dodgers. I think that's the way to go. I also played Ohtani under 0.5 hits, plus 170. It's available at DraftKings. He did not look the same with the shoulder. He was wincing after some of the swings. He went hitless. And you have a guy in heel who has outstanding stuff, but not only has outstanding stuff, he can be wild. He can walk you. He can hit you. So, look, if he walks you, that's one less chance at a hit. I think plus 170 is a good number. Ohtani swings did not look the same to me. So, Ohtani under 0.5 hits, plus 170. And it would be a lean towards the Dodgers at the plus money here.
Will, is there anything, any information that could come out throughout the course of the day that would maybe either get you off the Dodgers or maybe even push you on the Yankees? I mean, I don't think the Dodgers are going to look at this as a game that they can punt, but it is win one out of four. It is the bullpen game. They did have to use six different guys yesterday out of the pen. Is there any information that come out over the next several hours that may change your opinion, or is this still just, it's going to be Dodgers or nothing, just given what the lineup's done so far?
Still be Dodgers or nothing for me. I mean, I know Yankee fans, and Boone's a lightning rod and a punching bag for Yankee fans. And hey, move Judge up, move Judge down, do all these different things. There's not enough answers to the questions. There's just a lot of holes in that lineup. I don't know if you guys saw this stat. July 31st was the last time a Yankee first baseman hit a home run. Meanwhile, you have the Dodgers first baseman hitting a home run every single game. There's too many holes in the lineup. And yes, Judge not getting it done when you have your MVP hitting this poorly. Obviously, that's going to be hard to overcome. But yeah, Verdugo, I know it was a home run last night, but that was, cosmetic. That was window dressing at that point. Verdugo and the catcher spot. And Rizzo finds his way on base, but there's just two, three, four holes in this lineup where, meanwhile, the Dodgers, they're eight hitters. Kike Hernandez, who's a monster offensive player in the postseason. Edman is hitting ninth. He's a pain in the neck, good little ball player. The Dodgers just have the better, more complete team, and I just think I felt this after game one, too. I thought that game one, I know it was only the first game, I thought that game one was going to be very hard for the Yankees to get off the mat because they're not the better team. And that was just a game they had a couple different times. They had a lead in the eighth, blew it, had another lead in the 10th, were an out away. And when you're the better team and you have a chance to steal one and it's right there for it and you lose it in that sort of fashion, it's hard to recover from that. And I do think game one has been the undoing of the Yankees. I mean, this should probably be 2-1 Dodgers, and hey, we're playing for a tie tonight. I just think game one was the Yankees undoing in this series.
Talking to VSiN contributor Will Hill here on a numbers game. Well, let's go ahead and get over to college football, the game of the week. This would be an early kickoff for us out here on the West Coast. Ohio State, Penn State, currently sitting about 3.5 in favor of Ohio State, a total of 46.5. What are you looking at here in this one?
I like the under. I'm undecided yet whether I'm playing first half under, full game under. It will probably be, you know, maybe a little dab of each, just because I think these big games, there is a feeling out process early. You don't want to lose it right away. You come out a little conservative, especially with these two coaches. I don't know if you guys remember last year. Now, I know it's a different offensive coordinator for Penn State now with Colton Ickey, but Penn State was extremely conservative, run heavy, short passes. Ohio State with Day, they've already got one loss, so this is a big game for them too. I just think there's going to be a feeling out process early. So the more I'm talking about it, maybe, what's it, 23, 23 and a half, the first half under. That's probably the best way to go. And hey, look back at last year. I think this was like the 23-13 game. It was a slog. It was a rock fight. I think we're looking at a similar type of game. So I will go under here. You know, for a while, for years, it's been like the biggest game in college football. You play the under because of all the reasons I just said. There's a feeling out process. It's not been that in the recent years. You know, Bama, Georgia went over. A lot of these high profile games have gone over. Oregon, Ohio State. Good offense does tend to beat good defense now in college football, but I think this is a rare case where, you know, the defense is sort of went out. Ohio State doesn't have a ton of big play explosive ability, and I just think we're looking at a close to the vest game where these teams, you know, happy to kick the field goal, happy to punt. I think we'll see some conservative Big Ten football here, and I will play the under.
Will, you and I both looking at the same game here, Georgia State at UConn on Friday. What do you like in this matchup?
I don't know if we're doing guess the line today. What do you have for a line here? What did your model make this number?
I just pulled it up. We talked about it during the break. I said 6, 7.5. I wasn't far off, Will. I wasn't far off. You
far off. And the Huskies here are in my backyard. I like the dog. I like Georgia State. And there was a big group. I think our buddy Fez is on UConn. I don't understand why this line is so high. If you just go through the schedule, I guess I understand in terms of like the motivation. UConn playing to get to a bowl. Morris done a nice job. Georgia State's been kind of a lost season. But if you look at the Georgia State schedule, they played Vandy and they beat Vandy. Meanwhile, you know, the UConn schedule, it's a lot of Buffalo and Temple and Rice with a backup quarterback. There is a major, major disparity in the strength of schedule. So these Friday night underdogs, for whatever reason, have done a good job in college football covering, winning. I think this is like, you know, a field goal game. I'm shocked this is 7.5. I like the dog here.
Well, I'm going off script here. We didn't ask you about this beforehand, but I'm trying to poll all the people that watch a lot of college football. Is Miami real or is Miami a fraud?
It's a great question. It's one of those teams where they're going to make the playoff, but I'm looking to fade them in the playoffs just because I don't think the defense, and I do think at some point the coach bites them. So I would, right. I mean, they're talented, but a play here, play there. They've got two losses and Cristobal is basically, you know, on the hot seat and, you know, they want him out of there and this is not supposed to be a season. So the California game, that Cal game, you know, broke their way. There was the other game they easily could have lost against Virginia Tech with a call, a play here or there. So to me, they're a team you're looking to fade come postseason time.
Let's go to the NFL now. It is out to 6 in favor of the Vikings at home over the Colts. 45.5 is our total there in that one. And you're coming in on the Colts. Do we even know who's going to be playing quarterback for the Colts?
I mean, I hope for my bet's sake it's Flacco, but I'm guessing it's going to be Richardson. I feel like Richardson, they have to see it through just because he was the fourth pick in the draft. I mean, based on merit, Flacco's the better player right now. And I'm taking the points here. But look, maybe this is my pessimistic Vikings nature. I watched them Thursday night. First of all, no Darisaw, which is huge. It changes how you operate offense. I know it's only probably worth, what, a half a point to the spread, but I don't know that that's, you know, the correct thing when you're talking about an offensive lineman that's that good, that changes your play calling and, you know, obviously changes how you operate your offense. There were guys wide open all over the field for the Rams on Thursday night. Didn't get much of a push up front. Their, you know, interior defensive linemen don't give them much. Their secondary, there's holes all over the place. And, you know, say what you want about Indy. It's not pretty. They're not fun to watch. You look up, they're 7-1 against the spread, which is, you know, I think, something not a lot of people, you know, would have expected here. So not liking what I'm seeing with Minnesota. It feels like the bloom is off the rose a little bit. I will take the points here with the Colts.
Well, I don't think we could argue that the Chiefs are actually good. I don't think we'd argue that the Lions are actually good. Is there any other team that you throw into that upper tier with them currently as currently constructed?
I guess the Ravens would be the third team. I guess it would be Chiefs, Ravens, Lions. And the Ravens have a habit of, you know, losing these games that make you scratch your head and losing these leads. And look, if Kyle Hamilton catches an interception, we probably look at that game differently and say, hey, they survived the scare. They hung on. But I think the top three in some order are Chiefs, Lions, Ravens.
And finally, before we let you go, the Jameis Winston, everyone was calling for it. The Browns didn't want to do it. They forced to do it. He comes in, throws for the highest passing total of the week and 334 yards. Looks actually competent. Didn't have any Jameis moments, at least in that game. I'm sure there are some to come throughout the course of the season.
Well, if Hamilton holds on, yeah.
How much better, though, do you think this Browns team is with Jameis at quarterback? And is it now a team that you have to kind of refocus how you handicap them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you throw out the prior numbers, I think, because not only that, they're getting healthier, too. That was the healthiest they've been, I think, the other day. Winston had time to throw. And it rejuvenates the whole team because they look around and they know they have a quarterback with a pulse. And you know why it took this, I could say I don't know, but we all know it's because of the contract. But, yeah, it's a totally different team. I'd actually lean towards it over this week just because, I don't know, I feel like Winston's a good over quarterback. He can move the ball. He can make mistakes that help your over. He's a high variance. He's an exciting player. He's a good quarterback for the over. So, if I had to play this week's game, I'd play the over. That's a good teaser leg, too. I think Browns plus 1.5 is the spread. There's some good teaser legs. Texans catching 2 against the Jets, which seems, I don't like to use the word trap. That does seem like a trap, but that's definitely a good teaser leg, too.
He is a VEASAN contributor here, host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast at Not The Will Hill over on the Tour Machine. He is Will Hill. Thanks for your time, buddy, and good luck this week.
All right, appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me.
Kelly, we were just talking about that, actually. I'm glad that Will brought it up because we were saying there are a lot of teaserable games this week in the NFL. And so I think that there are different ways you can go about it. We were talking about, you know, listen, if you don't want to pay the price at your book out there, pretty much all of the new books out there allow you to just do line manipulation. And yeah. So if you're really just trying to clear through the 7, 6, and 3, you can just take it down to 2.5 and not have to take the full 6 points in the teaser and sometimes get a better price.
It's something we've talked a little bit about before, but with all the teaser prices going up basically across the country, I mean, what, shout out to DraftKings basically being the only -120 out there. Hey, great point by you. I know you've been doing it more this season. It's something everybody should be checking out.
Yeah, if you have the option, just go in and mess around with it. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and it's right. Fine, but at least sometimes you're getting a better price than just the stock price on the teaser. When we come back, let's talk these NFL divisions, see if there's any bets to be made.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers came here on VSiN. Matt in for Gil. Kelly and I are laughing.
I can't stop looking at it.
World Series heating up is one of the graphics here on the television for a non-sports morning show, we should say. I guess it's heating up. I mean, it's 3-0.
Yeah, good morning.
No team's ever come back from 3-0.
Good morning, America. Maybe check in with your partners over at ESPN to see where things are at. But I'm sitting here going, it was the only day they could get Derek Jeter in there, okay, Matt? What are they supposed to do?
I'm sitting here going like, wait, World Series heating up. It's 3-0, and no team has ever come back from 3-0. We've ever even gotten a game 6, and how's World Series heating up? It is what it is. You know, I'm seeing this come through the Twitter machine that there was a bet over at DraftKings preseason, Kelly, that – Victor Wembanyama 20+ rebounds in any regular season game.
Yeah, we had some of those tweet sent to us.
+140, and yeah. So that one's home.
That one's home.
That's an easy one.
I forgot someone did tweet at me and Gil one day with a bunch of those because there were several options. I actually thought what was those like the 8+ steals. I thought was that was actually my favorite. But yeah, 20+ rebounds is on there. A bunch of ridiculous numbers. Yeah.
And yeah, +140. I mean, that one's already home for anyone that had that in the account. So
straight good cash. On
you. Not often do you just get what three games, yeah, 4 games into the season.
Yeah, prop is cashed in. Three games
into the season. So well done. There you go. We also have a college basketball guide that is coming out that if you have not become a VEASAN Pro subscriber, this might be the best reason to do that. If you go to VEASAN.com/subscribe, go in. You don't know how many teams are in college basketball. Don't lie. You're sitting at home right now. You're listening to this. You don't have any idea.
How many conferences?
Let's just go with how many conferences are there in college basketball.
24?
There are 32 conferences, and we preview each and every single one of them in this college basketball guide. Yeah, and we give you the awards candidates. Matt Heumann's going to give you his top 50 teams, and of course, just the futures and season-long props as well. Just $120 for VEASAN Pro access. Everything we do until May the 1st. That's less than $20 a month. VEASAN.com/subscribe. And you get the college basketball betting guide in which there are how many conferences?
32.
32 different conferences previewed over there. Take advantage of it. Probably some of the most valuable stuff we do, specifically college basketball, because let's just be for real. It's impossible to handicap this.
These guys, Matt Adam, everybody that's got their fingers on the pulse of college basketball. You got, they're the only people you can talk to. I have no idea who's on what team besides Cooper Flagg. That's the only one that matters to me.
32 different conferences.
It's silly. You thought you had me. You're a jerk. You thought you had me on the second time. You're Kelly's not going to remember this.
We would sit here, and you and I collectively probably couldn't name all 32 conferences.
No chance.
Absolutely no chance. So this is why you get the college basketball guide. This is why we have the college basketball guide, which I will be reading this weekend. That's just as we sit around, during college football.
Oh, it's always great. Like the guides or any prep work you've got to do for games, that is, I'm with you. It is Saturday afternoons, college football. If it slows down, I don't have anything to really pay attention to, but boom, I can get through there some guides and do some prep work.
All right. So let's talk some of these conferences in the NFL, because now that we've got a decent idea of what these teams look like, we have a decent idea of who's good, who's bad, what teams are actual contenders, what teams are pretenders. Are there any bets for us to make in the conferences, Kelly? And so, the NFC North is a pretty interesting one right off of the bat, I should say, division winners here. The NFC North with the Lions sitting at minus 135, I have a lot of money already invested in the Lions, so I can't go here, but I still think the Lions are by far the best team in this division. I nothing against the Vikings, nothing against the Packers, and certainly the Bears are out of the question in my opinion, but I think 135 is a pretty fair price given what we see with the Packers, who may or may not have their quarterback this week, given what we've seen with the Vikings, who certainly this offense has slowed down a decent amount from what we saw at the beginning of the season. Maybe as we got a little bit of Darnold film, these guys have started to figure some stuff out about him. It's certainly not humming at the rate that it was. If I have the team as the number two team in the NFL, which I do, in the Lions, then, minus 135, I think is a fair price.
Okay, so the question here that I would have for you is, because I agree, is this a, if you like the Lions this week, should you be betting the division price as well? Or is this one of those situations, if you like the Lions this week, you should just be betting that and not betting the division price?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you bet, so here's the problem always with betting the long-term version of these teams.
Stuff can happen.
Goff goes down, whatever, anything. We already see Jameson Williams getting suspended again. So now it's like, okay, what if something happens to Amon Ross? Like that's always the problem betting the long term on these teams. That said, it's like this team can withstand a running back injury. This team is currently withstanding a wide receiver suspension because you've got all this other depth. You've got whatever. If there is a team that is well-equipped, I think, to handle some nonsense, it might be the Lions. I mean, Hendon Hooker, while I hadn't seen its small sample size of him, if he had to step in for Goff for a game or two, I don't think it makes this team where they can't win.
Yeah, I'm with you. With how many weapons are around him, are you sure he can't win a game? No, I'm not. Yeah, that's interesting. It's a good point.
So I think that's the Lions might be a different animal than maybe even might be a different. See what I did there? I didn't even mean to do that. It might be a different animal than some of these other teams that we'll talk about here. What about the NFC East and another division in which I'm already heavily invested in the Eagles? So I'm kind of glad to see where they're at right now. That said, Commanders plus 145, Cowboys 9-1, Giants, you're not betting that. Eagles are at minus 135.
Yeah, this one's been tricky for me because this is one of those we talk all offseason, right? Of the circle your schedule spots, right? Of when is it going to make sense to get in on teams possibly throughout the season. The Eagles, I think I had multiple spots circled already that I just kind of rammed through because there's been quite more questions about this team for me than I thought I was going to have at this point in the season. Man, I want to get involved now. I don't know what I've seen the past few weeks is something I can trust, but Jalen Hurts is playing a whole lot better football. That is for sure. And man, with Saquon, it just feels like this offense is explosive. The defense still has weapons. I still think it's Eagles here in the NFC East. I'm just a little mad. This is like the bettor's remorse thing, right? I could have gotten in at better numbers earlier. And now at this point, could you possibly still see a better number than 135? Yeah, I think you could, because I don't think the Commanders are going to completely go away.
Yeah.
That's the only problem with this one right now for me.
So I look at this as a head-to-head. I've erased Dallas, and of course the Giants are already done. So it is like...
Yeah, Dallas should be longer than that.
Which team do you like better, and would you be willing to lay 135, or would you be, or do you want the plus 145 on the Commanders? And if you look at the schedule that comes up with the Eagles down the stretch, I mean, like, you get Jacksonville this week where you're already over a touchdown favorite. Okay. No one's scared of Dallas at this point at all, right? And then you still have two with Washington, in which you can basically put the clamp down on this division. The only issue, and you could see this, Kelly, you see that little stretch there, the back-to-back roadies at Rams, at Ravens, and then I guess that Pittsburgh game is a little less winnable than maybe that was whenever we were looking at this beginning of the season. So it's not smooth sailing here by any stretch of the imagination for the Eagles, but it's not an incredibly daunting task anymore with Dallas being down, with the Giants looking like they're going to be easy wins, Carolina being one of the worst teams in the NFL, if not the worst team in the NFL, which is still on the schedule for them. So it's not that hard of a path either.
Yeah.
Is the deal. And you could basically eliminate your opponent because you have two games with them.
So this is another one, though. It's bet the division or bet the game, right? You only got to wait a few weeks. Yeah. Commanders they're at the Giants this week. What, like 3.5 point favorites or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And then they get the Steelers at home. So it's like the Steelers game for them. And then what, the Cowboys for the Eagles are a little dicey, I guess.
Yeah.
What do you think the line is on Commanders Eagles November 14th? Like, if that was made today, that is going to be in the dead zone, like Eagles 5?
And it's a Thursday game, which is also...
Oh, yeah.
Which is also wonky.
Yep.
Thursday game, which is also wonky. Yeah, something in there, something like that. I mean,
it's probably not it's not 3 and it's not 6, right?
I guess here's my hold up with the Commanders, and I actually like the Commanders like overall, and I think they've looked much better.
The defense is way better than I expected.
Better on the defensive side of the ball than I thought they were going to be. Is I understand he played and played well this past week, but it's still a rib injury for Jaden Daniels, and like a rib injury for a quarterback, not good, right? And so like I worry with the dude that is mobile, that needs to be mobile, that needs to extend plays, that needs to do all the stuff that Daniels does to make him who he is. I do worry a little bit about that if I was going to be backing the Commanders. That's the only thing that I would say in that division.
Yeah, this is a tough one because I didn't bet him preseason. I had this Eagles team circle probably 3 times on the schedule to consider. Still don't think I'm going to pull the trigger on it, but man, they're looking like the team I expected. This is Jalen Hurts' last 3 games, 42 for 59, 706 yards, 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 3-0 during that span.
Yeah, I mean, this team has looked much, much better. Look, a lot of teams don't want early buys. They needed the bye so desperately. They were had injuries all over the place. They had injuries on both sides of the ball, skill positions, everything else. They got that early bye, and it actually helped them a ton, where most teams would probably prefer it more like week 10, week 11, something like that. They really needed that early bye, and it got them through. We'll circle back around in the last segment to the NFC West, because I think that's an interesting discussion, considering that might be the most wide-open division in all of football.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on a Tuesday. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin coming to you from the largest sports book in the universe here at Circa Sports.
The universe. There we go.
I mean, like, if it's in the country, it's probably in the world and probably in the universe.
Yeah, I think that checks out.
Unless you believe in, like, you know, other...
They should change the commercial.
They probably are. We're only end up having to talk about aliens with Paul here in just a second, too, because you can't, like, talk about this World Series for an incredibly long time. And listen, if you don't want to bet the World Series, there's always horse racing going on. So you can do that if you want to bet. If you want to bet some horses, and you can do that at our partner First Bet. That is 1stbet.com, firstbet.com. Go in. We got the Breeders' Cup that is coming up this week as well. This is an awesome, awesome event. They're going to have all kinds of specials going on over there. And if you go in, use the promo code VSIN200, you can claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Again, that is promo code VSIN200 over at firstbet.com. That is 1stbet.com. Now joining us here on the program, your friend and mine, you can find him over at Fangraphs at Sporer on the Twitter machine. He is Paul Sporer. Paul, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I think this is kind of one of those segments where we all are going, man, like, you know, the world's is 3-0. You know the stats. We've said them 10 times on the show already, but it's happened 24 times before. 21 of those 24 times, it's been a sweep. The other three times, it didn't even get to game six. And so we can try to sit here and say that it's going to be different this time, but can we really do that?
Not with any, you know, conviction necessarily, right? It's going to take a miracle at this point. It's the classic one game at a time. You know, they come out, start hitting tonight. If the Yanks do that, obviously, you know, that's one in the books. But it's still such an uphill climb that I'm not going to blow smoke up everyone's tush on that. I don't see it now. And the simple fact is the hitting has kind of evaporated in the key spots. It's not just Judge. I understand that he wears the bulk of it as the superstar. But you see the numbers flashed up throughout the entire game, in every game so far. They're inept to hit when they have opportunities has really cost them. It's not even so much that the Dodgers are just blowing them out of the water offensively, and that, you know, the barrage, they just can't keep up. It's that the Yankees are never getting that key hit right now. And sometimes that just kind of happens. Do I think this is a team that needs to be dismantled and it totally sucks and this, that, and the other? No, we did not think that coming in, and three games do not make me think that. But this is baseball in a nutshell, right? You go cold at the very wrong moment, and all of a sudden your World Series could be over before you can really blink.
So before we talk about the game tonight, I do want to look back a little bit last night, because you see this pitching staff for the Dodgers has been just absolutely decimated by injury. You've heard them talk about it. They have a whole five-man rotation that's hurt right now. Mm-hmm. And you get Walker Buehler, and you get that performance from him last night. You've been around a long time. I've been around a long time following this stuff. You remember the hype that surrounded him when he came in. You remember, you know, one of the, you know, pitching phenoms coming through and all that, and battling all those injuries. That stuff from him last night, Paul, like that, what you could just tell something was different with him last night. You could see it in his body language. You could see it with the pitches, the way that he had the command of basically everything that was going on at the exact right time for this Dodger team. It just seems like they're just blessed with this World Series. Here you go. We're going to hand it to you.
Right. And, you know, listen, I don't want to say that it's being handed to them, because they're going out and getting it. And somebody like Buehler stepping up, who had a wretched season. But this is why you stay bought in on a guy like this, and why pedigree and track record and all that matters so much, and why I probably won't quit Bobby Miller next year either. You know, once he's healthy and looking right, because I think Buehler and Miller both have legitimate ace upside. I realize Buehler's now age 29, going to be 30 next year. We'll see where he plays next year. He's making himself a few bucks with these last two starts, though. You know, the four innings against the Mets was pretty vintage Buehler, and then this was really, really vintage Buehler. I know it's funny to say vintage about someone who's 29, but go look at some of his early playoff track record, and he was a dude for them. That's why the fall from this year was so impactful and so kind of alarming, right? Like, is he done? 75 innings, you don't want to bury somebody, but he didn't. At no point this year did Buehler look like himself. Even the decent outings that he had over those 16 starts, they were kind of smoke and mirrorsy. If you watched him, he would get lucky, the balls would go where they needed to, or he'd get a few strikeouts, but he was never quote unquote Walker Buehler until these last two starts when they needed him most. And that's why they stay committed to a guy like this. And I guarantee you, if Bobby Miller was healthy and, you know, could actually throw some innings for them, they'd be staying committed to him for the same reasons, because it's still in there with these guys. So that was a huge effort by Buehler. And like I said, definitely earned himself a few bucks extra this year. And I kind of hope it's from my favorite team, the Detroit Tigers. We've seen what they can do building back pitchers. I would love for them to go after Buehler.
Paul, what's your confidence level in Shohei Ohtani tonight? Looked a little rough last night. I'm considering some unders on some props. The strategy has burned me before, though, betting on Dodgers in big moments. Just any takeaways from what you saw out of his swing last night?
Yeah, I definitely thought that he was not, again, to use the quote-unquote Shohei Ohtani bolded, underlined version of himself. Still managed a walk and a run, because that's just what he does. Even when he's compromised, he's still contributing. I don't blame you for maybe looking at some unders, because also, why not downshift Ohtani a little bit? I'm not saying that they won't play him, but let him play, and he doesn't have to go all out. I don't expect him to dog it. He doesn't strike me as a guy who wouldn't run things out. But I'm saying, do they really need Ohtani to pop off to kind of even close this out tonight? Not necessarily. So I could see a little bit more of like, hey, you just go at your 80% rate. If you clip one for a homer, you can jog around the bases, great. But we don't need you hustling, potentially instinctually going for a slide that will further damage you. I do understand that with Ohtani. I don't think he's 100% right now. He's good enough to play, which that's a good, you know, I'll take that Ohtani any day of the week, but he's not perfect Ohtani right now.
Talking to Paul Spohr, you can find his great work over at Fangraphs. This is tonight a minus 148 with Luis Gil going for the Yankees, plus 124 Dodgers bullpen game. 8.5 is the total. Let's start just the thought on the side here. Bullpen game, they did have to use a lot of the bullpen arms last night, did the Dodgers. What strategy do you think they employ here? I don't think they punt it off, Paul, but I mean, you know, you just got to win 1-4. So what do you think we see tonight from them?
Exactly. It's not going to be a stone cold punt, I don't believe. But it's also, again, like I was saying with the Ohtani piece, not going to be all systems go. We have to push super hard and we got to run Kopech out there and Gratterall and Bonda. You know, Bonda, actually, I should say, probably has a decent chance to go because he only threw 10 pitches, a third of an inning. But, you know, Kopech threw a full inning, 24 pitches, did give up the homer. Gratterall threw 18. So he's kind of on the fence there. They got some guys that can definitely come back. They will be down to close it out tonight. There's no sense prolonging it. Don't give them any life. So I don't, like I said, I don't think they're mailing it in, but I think we're going to be looking at guys like Landon Knack and Ben Kasperius and Brent Honeywell to try to get multiple innings so that they don't have to go to the dudes, because if they don't do it tonight, then they can really shut it down tomorrow with your Gratterals, your Bondas, and your Kopechs on more rest if they don't use them tonight. So I do think it's going to be like, again, a half mail-in, because even the guys I named, Landon Knack, Ben Kasperius, Brent Honeywell, they're not walkovers.
Yeah.
And you, the three of us, me, you, and Kelly, we could be getting out the Yankees right now because nothing's working for them. So they might just be able to do it with kind of the B squad, because their B squad is still pretty damn good.
I'd like to think back in my day that I could only give up about 6 or 7 home runs to the Yankees team like over the course of a few innings.
So, only 6 or 7.
Back now, in my day, yeah, I think I probably could have done it. So
6 or 7 homers in 8 plate appearances.
Yeah, right now. Exactly. 8.5 the total. Last night, a lot of people leaning towards over. I myself, fortunately, didn't get to the window on it, given what we saw from Buehler. What do you feel about that total? That's exactly the number we were on last night.
Yeah, I do think that we're going to see some scoring tonight, not just because of the bullpen situation. I do worry a little bit about Luis Gil. We saw how he closed down the stretch. Really big fan of Luis Gil, huge arm. But we see what happens when the hit suppression isn't there. Everything is so contingent upon hit suppression with him because of the control or lack thereof. When you're walking almost 5 per game or per 9, you do need those hits to not fall. And when they started to down the stretch, that control was exposed. So I do still have some concerns here. And then if they only can get three innings out of him and they're dipping into the bullpen for more than half the game, that is conducive to more runs as well. So I do like the over a bit here tonight, even with the Yankees maybe dropping 3 or 4 of those runs and then the Dodgers doing the rest. I think I would go over on the 8.
I'm going to give you a free Matt bucks here. 100 okay. Matt bucks. Are we done tonight? Are you putting it on the Dodgers? Yeah, you would put it on the
Especially
Dodgers.
Especially as a dog. Give me the dog Dodgers, because, again, the no pressure aspect of it, the quote-unquote B squad. And I'm not saying that they get denigrate anybody, right, but they don't have to go to everybody. I think they got a shot to just shut it down tonight, giving me them as a dog, and then I probably just ride them again tomorrow if for some reason they don't close it out tonight. I just don't see where things turn around for the Yankees unless every hit starts falling. And BABIP can work that way, right? That's why BABIP is so fluky. But yeah, my 100 Matt bucks is going on the plus 124.
Well, I hope that they have you back on here next week to recap some stuff. But if this is the last time that we have you on, you know, this season, thanks for all of the great work. Awesome stuff over at Fangraphs, as always, at Spohr over on the Twitter machine as well. Paul, good luck on everything. And hopefully maybe we get some more baseball to talk about.
Would love to. Thanks so much for having me on all year. And my love out to Gil and his family.
Awesome, man. That was, I appreciate that, Paul. And yeah, I mean, it's like he said, they just have to sit there and go, hey, we just do what we do. We're throwing some bullpen dudes. No big deal. Win, don't win. Yeah. Going back to LA, that almost works in their favor.
Yeah, we were kind of wondering about that. Could that be a strategy earlier in the show? And Paul just saying, hey, it might be, and it might not matter, right?
Yeah, no pressure whatsoever might equal to free swings, and those free swings might end up in that short porch out there at Yankee Stadium. We'll close things out when we get back, read a couple of tweets, and also run through any bets we got in the account.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Final segment here on a Tuesday. Numbers game. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin with me here on the desk. Thanks to Paul Spohr for Coming on each and every week, as you said, Kelly, throughout the course of the season. Hopefully not the last time we talk to Paul here, but if history says anything about it, then might be the last time.
It's just a constant reminder to me as the producer of this show. Thank you to all the great guests that join us and join us all season long, like Paul Spohr, Mark Borchardt did through the baseball season, because it very quickly becomes, okay, it's done. We'll talk to you in 5 months.
It's like, oh, we weren't expecting a sweep, and there we go. So,
exactly.
Have a good one, buddy. But great work over at Fangraphs. If you don't check out their advanced stuff over there, if you want to get a little bit more into the weeds next year with baseball research and stuff, you just can't go wrong with what they do. And pay a little bit of money, pay his salary, get a subscription over there, and you can actually customize your dashboard and all the stuff. Right, all the stats that you want and that you want to see and all that matter to you. And you can actually do all that stuff, which is really cool. So
that is cool.
Yeah. Yep. Do all of that. All right, Kelly, I do want to, I do want to get through some of the tweets that we got throughout the course of the show. We get tweets, and this is from Chris Heath, who said, single screening, because I asked about did you dual screen? Did you single screen?
And if you
single screened, how did you go about it? So he's talking about the 8.5, obviously being the baseball game. So he single screened the baseball game. So there we go. Check one for baseball over football.
Or was it under 8.5 wins for the Steelers? I'm going to guess you're right.
So this is Brian, who writes in and says, someone born in Boston, raised in Massachusetts. I was single screening last night, just checking Twitter, hoping for rain, snow, so no one can win the World Series. Of course, yes, a Red Sox fan implied there.
Rooting for nobody.
Implied Red Sox fan. You got one here.
Yeah, this is from Judd. We talked about this a little bit on the show yesterday. He tweets in, did you see the Dogs went 9-2 ATS last night's early reactions to this? This is in the NBA. We brought up how many big lines there were yesterday. There is an early reaction to this. I think it applies to most sports. The NBA might be more than others here, Matt, but we brought up yesterday, I think if you are looking at dogs at this time of year, as bettors are trying to get their numbers right, the books are still trying to get their numbers right, there is going to be a little bit more value on some of those dog numbers, and especially sprinkling money lines along with them. So if you are betting dogs, that is definitely something you should be doing this time of year, is sprinkling some money lines.
And this brought in by Matthew Mayberry here. This is something we were talking about with
the season-long
props, that some of these were put up, and I actually wish I had seen some of these, because the reason sometimes you don't bet season-long props, you're like, well, I don't want to lock money up for however long. Some of these things are cashing in first, three, four games of the season.
Well, and what's smart here about Matt, so Matthew, Tatum, 10-plus rebounds any game, only minus 130, cashed in first game, also still have Ant-Man, 10 assists in any game, minus 120, and for fun, Ant-Man, 60 points in any game, 12-1. Those first two, though, couldn't pass up. I think the problem that a lot of people have in those season-long props is we're always people are mainly looking at the big payouts, right? Mm-hmm. They're looking at the Ant-Man 12-1. Mm-hmm. They're not looking at the minus 130 on Tatum 10-plus rebound. How is that available? Tatum 10-plus rebounds in any game was minus 130?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, I know some people are screaming out there, yeah, well, you could only get down $500 on it. Okay, well, that's $500 in your account.
Yep.
I'm not saying it's free, but it's as free as a future can be.
I don't even understand how that one makes sense. I'm still confused by it. Like, that number's way off compared to the Ant-Man 10-plus assists.
Just absolutely wild.
Matthew was all over those. Good job.
And this spawned, obviously, from what we saw swirling around yesterday as Victor Wembanyama gets home on his 20-plus rebound game that actually paid out at plus 140. So that 3 games into the season, also home for him, if you made that futures bet out there. Last one, this is from Jason, says, I have an exact order ticket on Philly, Washington, Dallas, Giants at 9-1. That is looking really, really good now for Jason on the Philly, Washington, Dallas, New York football Giants at 9-1 in that division. I mean, I'm looking at that one, Kelly, and going, that is by far the likeliest scenario as we sit here currently heading into week 9 in the NFL.
Yeah, and Jason asking if he should bet, Commander's money line here on some of the head-to-head games. Something to consider, but like you just kind of said, Matt, Jason, you're set up really well with this
very
ticket.
Very likely. So
I don't think there's any reason to rush to bet anything here. You might have some outs later in the season, and yes, it's only week 9, so plenty of things can change. But man, There's no way I could have told you that in week 9 of the season, the NFC East was going to be this figured out. Yeah. And the Commanders are one of those teams at the top.
And the good thing for a hedge is you can wait until week 16 to do that if you wanted to, because they play Washington week 16. So you could, like, that game might be for the division, you know, like way out in week 16. So you
how many losses the Cowboys have right now? I'm trying to think of this. Yeah, like what's the biggest, or what is it, just at the top with it? It's the shortest differential, right, between Philly and Washington.
The Cowboys,
right?
Are 3-4.
So there's a big gap between Washington and them.
Big gap right now. So this is a very, very likely scenario here. And then you get the head to head between Washington and the Eagles,
right,
in week 16. So you're set up really nicely.
I would not be messing around with this for at least a few more weeks.
You are set up really, really great. We had some great guests on the show today with a bunch of different bets, and so we want to roll through those to make sure that everybody is up to date. I know Drew Densick had let's start with Will Hills.
Yeah, best bets brought to you by GBank. I'm going to start with mine real quick. Laid 3.5 with the Timberwolves, and then I'm going to tail the great Will Hill on the Shohei Ohtani under a half a hit at +170.
Yes, you're all over this.
I am.
The second this got mentioned on the program, Kelly was like,
I can't help myself.
That is going in the account.
Yeah, I can't help myself. Will was Dodgers money line tonight. Sounds like Paul agreed with that play as well. And then he's on Ohtani under the half hit. We haven't found anybody. We couldn't find anybody before the series that wanted the Yankees. Yeah. Can't find anybody in the night that wants the Yankees. All right, Colts catching 6 against the Vikings for Will. And then Ohio State, Penn State, under 46.5. Also Georgia State, not listed on there. Georgia State catching 7.5 against UConn. Drew Dinzik then, Chargers laying 1.5 against the Browns this week. Broncos catching 9 against the Ravens. Then the Mavericks catching 5 tonight against the Timberwolves.
Best bets brought to you by GBank, official bank of VEASAN. The GBank Visa Signature Card, your best bet, delivering 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on all other purchases. For more information, VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSIN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval and terms and conditions do apply for that. Another reason you can't take the Yankees is, I don't know, you had the tri-screen going, so you were looking at the baseball game from time to time, correct?
Yeah.
Did you see all the expensive seats cleared out by like the 6th inning?
Yeah. The other thing that
I'm going, like, dude, how rich are you Wall Street people that, like, you paid however many thousands upon thousands of dollars for these tickets, and like 6th inning rolls around, you're kind of like, yeah, I'd rather just just go home. No way we score 5 runs. Like, you're just like, yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and go home. Like, I'm sitting there in the 8th inning, I'm going, I am counting 100 seats. That's $200,000 worth of seats I'm pointing at right now.
Very different for me to make the decision at home to change the TV because I can always jump back to it, right, real quick. Yeah. But if you're at the game and leaving for how much you paid for those, yes, it is something.
I was blown away. That was the one thing I just kept looking, going, what? How is this a thing?
So speaking of the crowds, the other one I'm fascinated by, I'm sure you caught some of this, but the whole Clippers wall thing that they're doing with the fans. So they're trying to build like a college atmosphere at the new Clippers arena and for the games. So, but it took me, you know, a quarter into that first game, they were mentioning it, but I'm like, why is nobody sitting in the stands? Like the quality seats in row 4 behind the bench, it was pretty sparse. So everybody's talking about this wall going on there, and I'm like, that's cool, but like, you need to fill in the other seats too. And it's something interesting to watch going forward, especially since Durant said he had trouble shooting free throws that night because of that wall of fans back there. So for NBA bettors, something to keep in mind.
You know what they should do to really mess with people to whenever they're going to shoot free throws? Just basically put all of the statues that have ever been done of anyone back there.
Oh,
and
my
And they're just going to sit there and stare at these people's faces and go, what statue? Who's that supposed to be?
Why don't I have this ready for today?
If you guys have not seen everyone clowning on this Dwayne Wade statue that got put out, just go do it.
Google Dwayne Wade statue. I am sure it is the first thing that will come up. It is bad, man.
You pointed out, though, this is not the first statue that has looked botched.
No. The Ronaldo one was the one I was trying to remember yesterday. I was like, who just did this a few years ago? And then, there we go. There's Dwayne Wade. Good job. Brendan, I didn't want to call you out, but great work back there pulling it up so quick. That is allegedly Dwayne Wade. You know what I don't get is how these guys go to these ceremonies, Matt. Like, it's an honor to be honored by your team like this, right? But not if it doesn't look anything like you.
If you're sitting there and you're, if you didn't see the Miami logo, if we only showed you the face, you are never,
never,
ever, ever guessing who that is.
Internet has some fun.
It's never in a million years. Stick around here. Stormy Bonnet, Tony, Jeff Schwartz going to get you on Money Moves. Good luck on all your bets here on a Tuesday.